You guys excited? Did you come with an expectant heart? Anybody? I think we got a couple. Hey, for those of you that are new, I'm Steve Mendoza. I'm the associate pastor here. I mainly work with the youth and do a lot of different things around here, but I have the privilege of being with you this morning, and we're going to open the Word of God, and I believe that He has something to say to us. So if you would, go ahead and bow your heads, and we're going to go before the Lord. Father, we thank You for this morning. Father, we thank You that You love us. We thank You that You want to speak to us. Lord, You are such a good God. And Father, I pray that as we open the Word today, that a life-changing Word would jump out of these pages and begin to change our hearts, Father. I pray that our minds would be renewed as the Word comes in and begins to water those dry places. And so, Father, we give You place. Holy Spirit, fill my mouth with Your words. Speak to us. That we would have life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know, I want to say something this morning. Listen, sometimes we're a little quiet in here when somebody's preaching. You feel like you have to be a little stuffy, but I just want you to know, if God's speaking to you, if something is there, it's okay to say amen every once in a while. All right? It's okay to get a little rambunctious every once in a while. Listen, the world thinks that they have something to be excited about when they go cheer in a football game when they just took $200 out of your pocket, and they're excited about that. We come to church, and they ask for $5, and you're like, what? You know? But the thing is listen, they're cheering for something that's going to pass away. It's not eternal. But when we come in and we rightly divide the Word of God and we allow Him to speak to us, guys, that's eternal. Things can change. And that's something to be excited about. So I'm excited about what God is going to say today. You know, this is going to be a little bit of a sobering message, but it's also going to bring a lot of healing and a lot of life. I mean, that's my call, guys. If you've been around me, I mean, I just believe that God wants to sober up the kingdom, and let's get back to truth. Let's get back to loving Him and changing the world for Him. So my message today, well, it's not my message, but I believe it's what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, is passing the test of drought. Passing the test of drought. We've been in a series talking about, you know, different tests that have come to different people in the Bible. But you know what? I believe that God wants to speak to you today about drought. You know, I don't know about you guys. How many of you guys like dry stuff? Anybody in here? I don't think anybody likes dry stuff. I think that everybody, you know, I don't know if some of you guys go, I'm going to cook that Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm going to let that thing cook like an extra hour so we could dry it out. You know, that's not the goal. You know what? Dryness is not attractive. It's not attractive. Have you ever had a waitress that just comes up and you know, you're smiling and you're trying to engage, like, hey, you know, I don't want them to spit on my food in the back. So you're like, you know, you're trying to be kind, and they're like, can I take your order? And you're like, hey, you know, what's up with you? You know, it's really interesting how we're not attractive to dryness. We don't appreciate dryness. How many of you husbands were not dry, but now you are? I'm just kidding. Don't admit, because I see your wives already elbowing you. But you know, a lot of you weren't dry when you were dating, but somehow something's got in you now where it's just kind of got old. It's kind of dried out. And you know, and that goes vice versa. But you know what? Dryness is not attractive. God didn't create us to be dry. And you know what? And dryness, really what it is, it's a sign of brokenness. I don't know if you know this, but when things dry out, leather dries, it starts to crack. Things happen, right? You know, clay starts to dry, it starts to crack. That's not what God has intended for you or for I, is that He wants to refresh us. And so I think that we need to talk about these kind of things in church. Sometimes we get these rah, rah, rah messages, but everybody's going like, man, you know, I'm dry inside. But understand, dryness is not what God has for you. And you know what I think is interesting too is that some of us have experienced dryness on the inside. But how many of you have ever been through a dry season? How many of you like those, man? Anybody on their knees praying for one of those? Like, God, you know, Lord, please thrash my finances. You know, let us have, you know, let us beg and feel like we're lost. No, nobody feels that way. We don't like those dry seasons either. You know, there was this woman, and she had two little kids, and her older son, he was really excited because they were going to go to Disneyland for his birthday. So on the way, there's the older son and there's the little boy to the right, and they're just driving on their way to Disneyland. And he opens up a birthday card and he goes, wow, he's like super excited. He's like, $20. Oh my gosh. And he's so excited. And he's thinking of all the things that he could buy at Disneyland. If you've been to Disneyland, you know you're not buying anything for $20. You're getting like a little keychain, you know? But the little boy, all of a sudden, the mom, she hears the little boy, the other little boy in the back, and he's like, she hears him kind of crying, and she looks back like, what's wrong? And she sees these big crocodile tears rolling down the little boy's face, and she's like, what's wrong, you know? And the little one goes, I only have $10, and he has 20. I mean, how many of you have had kids, and that's a reality, right? See, the little one was so focused on what he didn't have. And you know what? In life, guys, in these dry seasons at times, you're going to feel like everybody else is in a $20 season and you're in a $10 season. It seems like, your car's barely hanging on and everybody else is getting new cars and you're feeling like you're in that $10 season. You know, as some of you that are single, it's like you're waiting for your knight in shining armor to show up, and then the person that you've been thinking about, the person you've been talking to, somebody else just swoops them up. I mean, there's a lot of different examples that we can use, but you know what? I know that there's many people out there that feel like you're in your $10 season and everybody else is in their 20. And that's an interesting place to be in, guys, because listen, I'm going to talk today about breaking through dry times. But I want you to understand something, that you have to be careful when you're in a dry place. If you're just a dry person, you have to be careful in that area. If you're in a dry season, you need to be careful. Why? Because the enemy works best in dry places. I don't have this verse up there, but I have it in my notes, and you can write it down. It's Luke 11:24. And it says this, and this was Jesus' words. This was him speaking, okay? You look in your Bible, it's going to be red letters, okay? And he says this, when unclean spirits go out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. For a lot of people, you're going like, God, you know, things aren't working. I don't know why. Listen, the enemy, he wants to rest in that situation that you're in if you're in dryness. And he wants to cause problems. That's why we need to deal with this today. I believe that God's going to open this thing up to us. I believe that when you leave here today, I believe that you're going to feel refreshed. I believe that you're going to have hope in your heart. And your faith is going to be strengthened to understand that, you know what? You can be in a dry place, but you don't have to be dry. You might want to write that down. You can be in a dry place, but you don't need to be dry. I want to share something. If you would, go in your Bibles and you know, get in the habit of bringing your Bible, you know, writing that thing, you know, make it a personal thing. Make it a you and Jesus affair. Okay, Isaiah 58:11. And I want you to see this because, you know what, this is Isaiah writing prophetically. Okay, this is Old Testament, but listen to what Isaiah 58:11 says. It says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in what? If you don't have your Bible, you can look up there. Oh, it's not up there. Okay, well, hey, I ripped you off. But hey, the word is actually the bottom. He'll satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. Okay, you got to get this right here. You shall be like a watered garden. And like a spring whose waters do not fail. It's pretty amazing to think about that. In dry places, you know, recently we got home to our water being shut off to our sprinkler system back from church one day. And our neighbor, he comes over and he tells Stephen, our son, he goes, hey man, when you guys were gone at church, this water line in your back with your sprinklers just blew, and you guys had water running for hours, watering the whole neighborhood. And, you know what? I was thinking about that, though. Our lawn was pretty dry, and if I had been paying attention, there would have been some indicators that something was going on below the surface, that there was some water, there was a water source, because by the sprinkler heads, even though things outside were dry, it was always puddled right there. There was its own little water source underneath. And, you know, one day, finally that line blew, and we haven't got the bill yet. So we'll see how that goes. But I want you to know this, is that there is hope. That if you're in a dry place today, if you're a dry person, if you're feeling broken, if you're feeling bitter, if you're feeling that you've been forgotten and things aren't going right, or maybe you're just in a dry season right now. Like I said, maybe you're in your $10 season and everybody around's in their 20. Their marriages are perfect. Their kids are awesome. Their cars look great. Their homes are new. All these things. It seems like they're so tight with God and you feel like you're so distant. I want you to know that there's hope today, because as Isaiah prophesied, that your soul would be satisfied in drought. And not only that you would be a watered garden in that your water would never fail. The water on the inside of you would never fail. Are you guys up for that? For learning how we can get through this? How can we break through these dry places? Anybody? All right. Or is there some of you that are still liking that dry turkey? We got dry turkey people in this place? I didn't think so. I want to talk about breakthrough. So here we go. Today, breaking through a dry time. Breaking through a dry time. I have three simple points, okay? And I promise I won't lie, okay? Most preachers are like 3 points and are going, oh, we're going to get out of here at 3 o'clock. But I promise you that God has something very specific to say. And I want you to understand this before we even get into it. You know what the cool thing is? It's going to be everything you've already heard before. But listen, if you've heard it and you're not living it, then you didn't really hear it. Okay, that's the bottom line. If you heard it and you're not living it, you didn't really hear it. You were listening. It's kind of like white noise in the background, but you didn't hear it. This is going to allow you to break through hard times. So number one is this, if you're taking notes. Number one is tap into your water source. Okay, that little area around my sprinklers, man, they had a little secret water source going on there. And that was the healthiest, greenest area in my yard. Because there was something going on below the surface. So we're going to tap into your water source. And I'm going to tell you what that water source is. You guys want to know what it is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I want you to see this. Turn with me to John chapter 7. And that's New Testament. For those of you who are in the youth, we always play that game. Where's it at? New Testament, Old Testament. But we're going to go to John chapter 7. And we're going to go to verse 37 and 38. Because I want you to catch this. This is life-changing right here, guys. This is life-changing. This is so foundational to you getting out of your dry place. So John 7, 37 says this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." We're going to stop right there. They would do these feasts. So I could just imagine this. It says on the last day of the feast. So everybody's probably packing up. They're ready to go. And somehow, like, we read the Bible, and we think that Jesus was like this, like, meek, like, weak dude. You know, he had, like, a robe on, and he's walking. And then he says, "Listen, if anyone thirsts, come to me." That's how we think that he ministered. But you know what? He was bold. Why? One, because he had an amazing message. The Spirit was on him. It says that the Spirit of the Lord was on him. And it says that he cried out. So it's probably like this. Everybody's packing up and they're leaving and they're doing their thing, you know, loading their donkeys and getting everything. All right, man, we're going back home. And Jesus cries out. He's like, "Hey, if anyone thirsts, come to me." That's different than, "Hey, if anyone thirsts, hey, guys, I'm over here. I'm in the back. Listen." No, he just rises up and he says, "If any man thirsts, come to me." And he says, "Let him come to me and drink." Listen, if you are a born-again Christian in this room today, I want you to know something. You have a water source that's on the inside of you. And it's that secret water source that in a drought and in a dry time, you're still filled. Even when everything around you is dry and the grass is dead and everybody in your family is fighting and bickering and dead, listen. You can have a source that's watering you that they don't see, that is bringing life into every single situation. That's why I said you can be in a dry time, but you don't need to be dry. Because you have a water source, and his name is Jesus. And listen to this as we read further in that verse. It says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Is that a good word or what? And what he's talking about is the Holy Spirit is going to be on the inside of you and he is going to flow. Listen, the God who conquered death, his Spirit is on the inside of you. So when you walk up to dead things, you let that thing flow out. And what does it do? It conquers death. The God that conquered drought, you walk up to the drought and you let it flow out of that secret place. And what happens? It waters and life comes. You have to know that on the inside of you. I think that too many people, your source has been complaining. Your source has been worry. Your source has been anxiety. Your source has been a bad attitude. Your source has been your bad moods. But God is calling you to tap into a source, a life-giving source, and his name is Jesus. Hey, my dad gave me an amen. Praise God. It's so good to have you guys here. My family's here this morning. And that's why we can read Isaiah 58:11 one more time. And we can see it with different eyes and we can see it with different understanding. That God, that Jesus, that we've come to him and that he's our water source and he's flowing out of us. His spirit is flowing out of us. And that's why we can read Isaiah 58 again and I'll say, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. See, you don't need a new car to be satisfied. You need Jesus. You don't need a man or a woman. You need Jesus. You don't need amazing kids. You need Jesus. You don't need the perfect job or the perfect church. You need Jesus for your soul to be satisfied. And it says, and not only that, and strengthens your bones. I don't know if you know this. Do you know where life is housed? It's in your bones. That's where your blood is made. And the word says that what? That life is in the blood. Life-giving source, life-giving source. And he says, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. I believe that he was speaking prophetically of the Holy Spirit when he said that you would have a water that would never fail. If you're in a dry place, if you're in a dry time right now, you got to tap in by faith to the Spirit of God. And not only that, that word said that he would lead you continually. You need to let him lead you, guys. He's going to lead you to freedom. He's going to lead you to the life that God has ordained for you. So just understand this. You know, there's something really cool. If you would, turn with me to Zechariah 9:11. So we're going to give you a 9-1-1 scripture. You guys good for that? Yeah? Anybody need the 9-1-1 scripture? He's one of the minor prophets. I don't know what pages he's on. But I'll give you just a second to get there. I see a lot of you turning. But if you're taking notes, write it down. Because this is foundational to your faith right here. Zechariah 9:11. And it's going to go on the screen as well. It says this. As for you also. Okay, he's speaking prophetically. He says, as for you also, because of the blood of your covenant. Whose blood covers us? Whose blood removed our sin? Jesus. It says, I will set your prisoners free from the what? From the waterless pit. Understand this. You get Jesus, you get everything, guys. You're going to get free. Free of the pit. You know who else was in a waterless pit? You can go back and look at it. But it was Joseph. It says that when his brothers threw him in there, it was a waterless pit. But did God not raise him out of that pit? And use him for his purposes, and he'll do the same for you. Number two, I'm telling you, man, we're going to get out early today. I always say that. It doesn't really happen, but I'm trying to give you hope. No, just kidding. Number two is this, sow good seed. See, you guys have heard this stuff before, but I want you to see it in light of what God's saying this morning. He doesn't want you a dry person, and he doesn't want you in a dry land. As I said, you could be in a dry season, but you don't have to be dry. We need to sow good seed. Something that has always been interesting to me is that I will see people around me, and they're in a dry time in life. But let me say this, and you might need to write this down, okay? That a dry season is not a no-work season. That a dry season is not a no-work season. Okay, the word promises us in Matthew 5:45, and it's not going to be on the screen, but in Matthew 5:45, it says that God rains on the just and the unjust. So you got to understand that rain is coming, okay? We don't know the timing. We don't know the timing when it's going to rain or when it's not. It rains on the just and the unjust. For those of you that are teens, what it's saying is it rains on bad people and rains on good people. It rains on those who love God and those who don't love God. Here's the difference between somebody, though, that is linked up with God and is hungry to get out of a dry season. is that you're putting seed in the ground in preparation that when the rain comes, it's going to water it and produce a harvest. And I want you to see in Galatians 6, 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, or he's not fooled, or the wool's not pulled over his eyes. It says, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And I used to always look at that just as sowing and reaping. Well, you know, if I put good stuff in, I'm going to get good. If I put in bad, I'm going to get bad. But what if you don't put anything in? Is God fooled? The water's still coming, guys. Still going to water that field. Nothing in the ground. Nothing happening. I want to speak to you on two points on this, on two different aspects, because, you know, we've been running two parallel tracks here. Maybe you're dealing with dryness today in your own heart. You just feel dry. Maybe like finances and the family and everything's good. Maybe school's good for you guys. But you just feel dry. You feel distant. That's one track. The other track is maybe you don't feel like, you know, inside you feel like you're doing all you can, but it just seems like you're in a season where you're just in a hole. You feel like you're in that waterless pit with maybe your finances and different things. There's two different tracks running here. I want to talk to you about the personal one first. If you want to get out of that dry land where you've got an attitude all the time and you're always in a bad mood, I'm going to tell you the seeds that you need to plant. You need to plant seeds that produce the fruit of the Spirit. Does anybody know what some of the fruit of the Spirit is? Anybody want to give me one or two? Okay, we got love, we got patience, what? Joy, we got self-control, we got peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. There was one other one, remember it was faithfulness, right? Listen, if you want your situation to change, and I'm going to speak to those of you that are married, I feel like God wants to say this, you got to plant the fruit of the Spirit. Some of you are not planting love. Some of you are not being kind to one another. Some of you are not being good to each other. Some of you are not being self-controlled. And I want you to understand that if you start to plant those seeds, guys, when the water comes, you're ready. You know, Veronica and I, when we got married, man, we were young. I mean, my gosh, I look now, I go, man, my daughter is going to be 19 years old next month, and I was engaged at her age. it's dumbfounding, and I'm surprised my parents made it through, unless they were just like, man, we got to get this kid out of the house. He's driving us crazy. But pretty crazy situation. And when we got married, guys, being young, we had a lot of issues. We were just kids. And you know what? And I look back, and I can say this today. I'm the man that I am. It sounded like Popeye right there. I'm the man I ams, or whatever. But I'm the person that I am today because my wife, even though I was a jerk, she would sow so much seed into me. And she would tell me stuff like, babe, I'm praying for you. And I knew what she meant. She was like, man, I'm telling God to get you because you ain't listening. But you know what? That was a life change. When I started to see her be kind to me when I was doing things that she shouldn't be kind to me. And there were times, you know, that she could have just completely went off and she was self-controlled. I just want you to understand that if you're a dry person right now, you have to get those seeds in the ground. You have to be intentional about it. You can't be controlled by your moods. I'm telling you, there's so many people in the kingdom that are controlled by their moods. And you know what the sad part is? That you're going to teach your kids to be controlled by their moods. And thus the mess continues. Plant seeds that are going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Secondly, I want to speak to those of you that are maybe in a dry season. You're in a drought season. I'm a firm believer that seed produces after its own kind. And if you're in a place and you're believing God to open doors, I believe some of you are in this room and you're believing for God to open doors for ministry. You need to sow into ministry. And some of you are believing for financial miracles. You need to sow in that area. Seed produces after its own kind, and not only that, it produces in the amount of seed that's in the ground. You know, you don't put one seed in the ground like, and then expect a whole lawn to produce out of that one little seed. You have to seed and seed and seed. And sometimes, can I just tell you, it may take years. Some of you just got shocked right there. They didn't want to amen that one. It's going to take years. Years and years of sowing and sowing and sowing. You know how long I was doing the work of a pastor before I became a pastor? Anybody want to guess? He gave me three. You have to times that by four. We were doing pastoral work for almost 12 years before God opened a door. And there were times where I'd be like, man, am I forgotten? And I would feel like Joseph, you know, kind of locked up in this dry place and knowing that I had a gift to give to serve the body of Christ, and I felt overlooked, and I would see the next person, and I would see the next person, next person. It's like, man, I was in my constant $10 season and everybody else was in their $20 season. Just kept ministering, staying faithful, checking my attitude, not getting offended, continuing to learn, continuing to grow. I'm not trying to make this about myself. What I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes it's going to take some time, but just because that happens doesn't mean that you don't sow. So I want to encourage you, put seeds in the ground that are after its own kind. Can I give you one final point? This is going to be the short one. And this is the one that I hate. I even left it off. I literally left this point off, and the Lord checked me in prayer yesterday morning, and I'm texting Dion. Dion, the Lord gave me another point. But he had already given me the point before. I just didn't want to talk about it because I hate this one. This one makes me want to fall on the floor like a toddler and kick myself and throw myself all around. Number three is that you have to wait patiently. Do we have anybody in here that hates to be patient? I feel great. I can leave now and feel that I'm not alone. But just like I said, sometimes we just want to throw ourselves on the floor and throw a temper tantrum when we go, God, I know you're my source. I pray to you every day and I'm believing. And man, and I've sown and sown and sown and sown and done this and I've done everything that you said to do and it's still not happening. What is going on? God told me to tell you this, woke me up in the middle of the night to tell you this. He's sovereign. Some of you need to write that down. God is sovereign. So we don't understand everything that happens, but you have to know that God loves you and he loves the person next to you just as much. And sometimes he's orchestrating stuff for your betterment and for your good, but he's also orchestrating it for others around as well. We don't understand the plan. But we can know that he's sovereign and that when the right time comes, that it's going to happen. And I know that some of you, that you're waiting right now for rain. Got anybody waiting for rain in this place? Just want you to know it's on its way. It's on its way. And I can assure you of that. I believe that God has established natural seasons in life for us to understand spiritual seasons as well. There's the fall when everything dies, and the winter when everything's dead. But we rejoice when spring comes, right? Because the rain comes and everything blossoms and blooms, and little baby rabbits are running. Why did I say baby rabbits? But, anyways, you know, we see little bunnies, and maybe for Easter, I don't know. And summer is hot. And it's a great time. We're at the beach. I don't know if anything grows at the beach, but the point is this, is that you can see the seasons that God has ordained, and our lives follow those same things. I've had in my life where I've been in my summertime, and everything's awesome and it's great. And then I've been in my fall when it seems like I'm starting to lose stuff. And then I've been in my winter when I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, it's all dead. What happened? And we've been in our spring. And I just want you to know that you can rest assured that right now you might be in the fall and it seems like some things are being shaven off. And if the winter comes, it's okay because there will be another spring. See, somehow I feel that the prosperity messages that our brothers on TV, and I don't want to speak out against them and be slanderous, but I'm just saying I think that some of them have put this thing in people's minds and it's damaged them to think that if you're struggling with something that God's angry with you and that you've messed stuff up. But you know what? It's just seasons. It's just seasons. You're just going through it. Some of you are facing health issues. You know what? Can I just tell you that's going to be a season and it's okay. God's going to heal you up. You're going to make it through it and you're going to continue on. And you know what? Your spring is coming. But remember that God is sovereign. James 1:4, and this will be our last verse for today. James 1:4 says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So I'm just telling you, if you're in your $10 season right now, there's going to be a day coming soon that you're not going to be lacking anything. And you have to believe that. You have to believe that. So number one today was that you have to know your source. Remember that? You got that secret water source that's going on. Listen, if you're not a Christian, sorry, but your water's turned off. You didn't pay the bill. No, just kidding. Somebody else did. But you have to know your water source. And number two is that you have to sow good seed. Because I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit, guys, when he waters those spirit seeds, it's like miracle grow. It grows fast. You don't have to wait a long time. You just have to be willing to plant it. And number three is that you have to patiently wait. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? And rise up as wings of eagles, yes. About to fly. If we could, real quick, I just want to put up Isaiah 58:11 one more time. And I just want to, in light of everything that we've learned today, I want to just see the faithfulness of God together. We've read this a couple times already, but I want you to get it. You know what? Let's read it out loud together, okay? So we're going to start 1, 2, 3. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. If God spoke to you today, I want you to give him a hand today. Praise God. He's so good to us.